All right, today we're going to be stepping out of our regular series in Hebrews. Normally, we're going along through the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 11. We're going to resume that next week. Today, we're going to take one special focus on Genesis chapter 12 that will set the foundation for an emphasis we're going to do this fall on a small group series called Bless. That's why you see that on the screen there. And we're going to be talking about this emphasis as a way that we can keep our focus on our community, on our friends, on our world around us. And it's born out of this idea that's taught in Genesis 12. And here at the end of the message, it's going to be a shorter message today because we want to have time to just tell you a little bit more about this emphasis of Bless. And also get you to the ministry fair, because that's going to be part of our service time for you to be able to go across the hall and spend time there looking at the different ways you can connect in the church. And so we've purposely made this time a bit shorter for that reason. But God is way smarter than us, isn't he? Right? He's always smarter than us. He's always, you know, several steps ahead of us. Well, actually, he's infinitely steps ahead of us, but sometimes he reveals them where he's a couple steps ahead of us. So we're going to be looking at Hebrews 11 next week, and the main character of our study next week is Abraham. And the main focus of the message this week is Abraham. I didn't put that together. This is all God's idea to do this. We're going to be looking at Genesis 12. You have incentive to pay attention. You have incentive to listen, to get the foundation of knowing Abraham's life, because it'll carry right over into next week. So we're going to look at the first three verses of Genesis 12 here together. Follow along as I read. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This is one of the most pivotal moments in the Old Testament. God is doing something new here through Abram's life that we could not have ever dreamed of, nor could he. There's no evidence in here that he was praying for this, that he was seeking God for some incredible blessing like this. This is all God's decision, a God-sized, God-initiated promise. It's filled with action and faith on Abram's part. It's filled with an incredible promise on God's part. And we know that here in Genesis 12, it's a shift in the plan of salvation that God is revealing to the world. The first 11 chapters of Genesis reveal that the world hasn't been going so well so far, had it? God had created and all was good in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God, to sin against him. And in their pride, they turned away from him. They wanted to be like God themselves. Their very children, Cain and Abel, it did not go well either. We talked about this last week. Cain, the older brother, killed Abel. The first murder in the Bible. Go on from there. The world is filled with such evil and such rebellion as the population began to grow and grow over hundreds of years, thousands of years, that God decided he's going to do something different. The stench of humanity's sin had come up before his nostrils, and he, in his justice, said it's time to start this over. To wipe out the world's population by sending a flood, and there was a judgment on humanity, and only one family was chosen to survive, one righteous family on all the earth. And who was that? Noah. And from there, you think, okay, this reset worked. Everyone would have learned their lesson, right? So the population began to grow again, hundreds of years, and now you get the pride of humanity again, and it surfaces in the Tower of Babel as they want to reach the heavens themselves, again, not wanting to have God over them. They could be their own God and rule their own people. And God sends confusion and sends them away. And there's different languages and different races, and all of that begins from that point. And out of that, God says, "I'm going to do something new. I'm going to start a new kind of approach with this world that they've never seen. I'm going to show my heart in a new kind of way. And I'm going to come to a man named Abram." And what God said to him was incredible, wasn't it? If God came to you and told you to do what he told Abram, whose name had not yet been changed to Abraham, Abram, says, hey, by the way, I want you to pack up everything that you own. Take your family, take your household, take all the possessions and belongings and peoples with you. Everything you're familiar with, and I want you just to leave right now. You go, what? Okay, everything, God? Yeah, everything. And go where? Don't worry, I'll show you. But I don't know the destination. I haven't plugged into my GPS. Do I have enough gas for the journey? Do I have enough money? Don't worry about all that. I'll show you. The journey ends up being over 1,000 miles up along the river, up over the desert. In fact, I have a picture here. As they go up over the Arabian Peninsula, along the Fertile Crescent, and then down into what we know now as Israel. And God showed him this wonderful land that was going to be his. And all of his descendants were going to live in this land, and it was going to be a wonderful blessing to them. What an incredible step of faith on Abram's part to take this journey, to be willing to step out, to be willing to travel, to be willing to go. But before Abram left, God gave him the promise that is in verses 2 and 3. Incredible promise. What is the operative word in verses 2 and 3? Find it. Look in your scripture. It's in there a number of times. 5 times, in fact. It's the word bless. God is into this idea of blessing. He chooses from his own heart, from something inside of him that says, I want to bless this world. We might think of God that he is a judge, and out of his holiness and out of his righteousness, he is a judge. He is holy. He is righteous. But there's something that compels him to say, but these people, I've got to bless them. He says to Abram, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God, in his heart of compassion, makes this promise that he is going to love. He's going to bless. What an amazing thing that God says to Abraham. I mean, first of all, there's a blessing to Abraham himself. You're going to be this great nation. You're going to have this descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the seashore, we find out in later chapters. You're going to have this household that is very, very blessed, and all the generations that come after them, and there's going to be land associated with it. We just saw the map where God was going to lead him to the land of Israel. He was going to have all this, but he would be a blessing to others. In fact, the influence that he's given, think of this. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. Did Abraham feel invincible after that? Imagine if you had that kind of promise from God. Oh, you want to treat me poorly? Guess what? God's going to bring down fire on you. You better treat me well. Wouldn't he feel pretty invincible with that kind of a promise? And I wonder how that played out many, many times. We see some of the stories as it goes along. But the part that catches my eye is the end of verse 3. It's not all about just Abraham. That's one person. It's not all about just his descendants. That's one nation. All people on earth will be blessed through you. God has in mind every country, every nation, every race, every background, every people group, including us sitting here today, that he wants to bless all peoples of the world through what he was doing right here in Abraham's life. It's an amazing promise. God was laying the building blocks of his mission to save the world. Don't think of God as a missionary God that just started when Jesus came to earth. God had the world on his heart a long time before that. In fact, you can see evidence of it in a promise in the Garden of Eden. In fact, it tells us that Jesus Christ was slain before the foundations of the world. God has been a missionary God the whole time. And he's been interested in reaching people like us. And people like here on Mouman Avenue and all these houses we see here and up and down Market Street and in the new neighborhood that's going in down the road and in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood, and in your neighborhood. God loves them all. This is the God who we're talking about. This is the promise that he gave to Abraham. Now, I said this message is going to be shorter, and I'm going to make four observations, four big ideas that are the foundation of this, and then we'll shift into talking about this emphasis that we're going to have this fall. The first big idea that I see in this passage is the world's not okay. It needs blessing. Isn't that the foundation that's behind this? It's why God has to bless us, because we're broken. We see evidence of it all around us. We are physically broken. We are spiritually broken. Relationally, people are broken. Emotionally, people are broken. And all you have to do is flip on the news to see evidence of that, right? Continuing wars, continuing shootings, and scam artists who are trying to steal things from people who aren't aware that it's coming. And it just goes on and on and on. But it's not just out there in the news. Every person here in this room has a long history of sin, has deep patterns entrenched in our lives of sin. All of us need the touch and blessing of our God. The world's broken, and we need a God to bless us. And he's the only one who can do something about it, because he's the only one outside of this mud puddle of the world that we live in, isn't he? Which leads me to our second big idea. God so loved the world. John 3:16, it's a verse that we could quote together. It's a verse that's displayed at football games and public places. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you ever thought about why in the world does God love us so much? He has everything he needs. He doesn't need to have, you know, some sort of entertainment from us to keep him occupied. He's not bored twiddling his thumbs thinking, I think I just need to, you know, like be entertained today, and so I'm gonna bless some people and I'll just show how awesome I am as God. He's not trying to like somehow prop himself up. It's wired into his very nature and character. He created us. He's committed to us. He loves us. And it's beyond our understanding. There's nothing lovely about us, the scripture says, that would somehow draw him to us. It's all on his behalf, all on his initiative, all inside of his own heart. And God took steps to prove how much he loves the world. He made this promise to Abraham. He made a promise, a big covenant to David. He made a new covenant. And Christ was sent to carry out that new covenant and to open up the way of salvation for us on the cross. And he sacrificed his own life for us. And he continues to pour into our lives. He continues to reveal himself to us. He continues to work in our lives. God so loved the world, and he wants to bless this world. He is a God who blesses. He's a God who looks at the broken people of the world. He's a God who shows up to average people like Abraham and makes them incredible promises. He's a God who loves. He's a God who saves. He's a God who rescues. This world isn't okay, but God has deliberately chosen to bless. Big idea number three, God has miraculous power to bless. Did it strike you yet that God promised Abraham to have a great nation, and yet Abraham had no kids at this time? How old was he at the time of this promise? 75 years old. Anyone in this room hovering in that neighborhood that wants to have kids? Yeah, put your hand down. Yeah, yeah. You didn't let me finish my sentence, right? Yeah, okay. Sarah was 90. Now, they lived longer, about double that age is what Abraham lived to. But they had been married for decades. They had been trying for decades. They had been disappointed. Their heart had been broken so many times. They had waited. they had given up hope. In fact, when Sarah heard this promise, she laughed. I can't believe that. You're telling me I'm going to have kids at this age? But God can do the things that no one else can do. There was a gigantic obstacle, a gigantic mountain in the way for God to fulfill this promise of his blessing through Abraham. But God is the God who can move mountains. And when he wants to bless, he can do miraculous things in our lives. He can make a way when there seems to be no way. Our God is able to do that, and it's a wonderful thing. We can't limit him. We can't put him in a box. He can break through the obstacles in your life. He can break through the obstacles in the lives of someone else that he wants to bless. We have to believe that because we see God do it over and over again in Scripture. But the last big idea is where we're going to camp out here. It's this idea that God chooses to bless the world through us. Is that exclusively the way he works? No. God can do anything he wants. He can individually show up to anybody at any time. He can speak directly to anybody at any time. But so often, in the way that he prescribes in Scripture, is that he wants to bless others through us. He blesses us so that we will be a blessing. It's exactly what he says to Abraham here. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. At the very end, he says, all peoples on earth will be blessed. How? Through you. Now, Abraham is not alive today, so how can he bless all the people of the world? It was through his offspring. It was through the nation of Israel that came out of that. And out of the nation of Israel, we get all this Old Testament revelation of God where he specifically revealed himself, his law, what's good, what's right, what's wrong. He showed his character. He showed his heart. He gave us so much. And then out of the nation of Israel, what do we have? Christ, who came to be our Savior, who died for all the people of the world. And today, we are still walking in the blessings that God has given through Abraham. And who are the children of Abraham? Are they the physical descendants, the bloodline of Abraham? Is that who the children of Abraham are that God is blessing the world through today? Jesus changed the rules of the game when he said that we are children of Abraham by faith. Galatians 3:7 also says that. That the people who believe are children of Abraham. And if you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, he is pouring into you through this promise still. And guess what? He's blessing you so that you will be a blessing to others. That's how he works. He doesn't bless us just so that we can go, man, I'm so glad my life has the Lord in it. My life has so many wonderful things in it. I can be thankful for all that he's given me. And we just kind of hoard all of that into this one area. And we just go, oh, I just want to hold on to this forever. That's not why he gives it to us. Have you ever seen a pond that has scum on it? I'm going to show you a picture here. Okay? A pond that has scum on it. It's scummy because water flows into the pond. This one has a little drainage thing pouring into it on the left-hand side. Water comes into the pond, and it gets into the pond, and it gets stagnant. It gets kind of messy, and algae grows in it, and junk collects in it, and it gets mosquitoes and bugs, and no one wants to go to a pond like that. What's the problem with this pond? Water goes in, but nothing's coming out. A healthy pond is meant to have water flowing in and water flowing out, and then it kind of changes out. It refreshes, and on it goes. In the life of a believer, this is the picture of what it looks like when you receive blessings from God, but you're never giving out. You become scummy. Don't be scum. If you take anything from this message today, don't be scum. We were meant to be a blessing to the world, to the people around us, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our coworkers, for people around the planet we've never met before. That's his idea. If you look at the whole of Scripture, we're told to physically go and help people. We're to visit the orphan, or visit the prisoner and take in the orphan and care for the widow. care for the foreigner, to love the person who's being overlooked, to bring the gospel to the least reached places of the world, to love your neighbor like yourself. We were given spiritual gifts that we can use to serve others. Everything in Scripture just points this way. God pours into us, we pour into others. We were meant to be a people who bless. So the world's not okay. It needs blessing. And God so loves the world, and he has the power to miraculously bless people, even through us, even through the contact they would have with us, the conversations, the prayer that we can have for people, the way that we can pour into people's lives. It may just be the answer to their prayers. And he can do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And then he chooses to bless the world through us. That's our mission. It's the mission we've been given by Christ, to be a blessing. Now, that has a ton of applications to it. We talk about those applications regularly. We talk about having a fisherman's banquet like we did a week ago and being able to reach people who don't know Christ yet as their Savior. We did a Great Commission Sunday 2 weeks ago and had a missionary couple here who shared about what God's doing in their life and in the country where they're serving. We took a Great Commission offering, and it was an amazing offering. And we talk about this kind of stuff locally, regionally, globally, all the time. But today, we want to make an application of an emphasis we want to do this fall to think about reaching the people in our lives. I'm going to invite Pastor Dwayne, Pastor James to come up here with me. And we're going to just talk for a few minutes about something we're doing here. I also want to make the note that the ministry fair that we're about to head over into in a couple of minutes is also right in line with this idea of bless, because it's finding ways that you can be poured into, connected into, so that God continues to pour into your life. And it's also a way that you can connect with a whole bunch of ways to pour out to other people. So that's what that ministry fair is all about today, and we're going to dismiss you over there in just a bit. But we're going to talk about this for a few minutes together. And guys, I just want to ask you if you would share a little bit about this concept of being a blessing. God blessing us and us blessing others. Let me just introduce real quick. This is Pastor James. He's our pastor of youth and outreach. Mm-hmm. This is Pastor Dwayne. He's our pastor of adult ministries and discipleship here in the church. How did this concept begin to resonate with you guys that you'd say, yeah, I want to talk about this more this fall, this idea of bless?
Well, it actually kind of started when we've heard this idea of bless was actually brought up in a couple different contexts for the last year in my life through an exponential cohort I was part of and an exponential conference we were part of. Heard some of the things there. And James and I have been just talking about the idea of, you know, I want to increase our small group ministry, and he was talking about outreach, and we're talking together, and we said, you know what, why don't we spend some time and just pray through this together and see what things might come up from that? And that's what we actually did. We actually met together, and we just took some time praying through this and trying to come up with some way of doing something that might actually hit both of those ideas in a really cool way. And that's where this topic came into play.
Yeah, and so we were all at Exponential, which is a conference for church leaders. And in one of my seminars, they had just passing mention bless. I think it might have been even like just a commercial screen that came up. And so immediately I took it down as a note saying, look into this, and I forgot about it. And so as we were talking about outreach, talking about discipleship, and really talking about how sharing your faith with somebody, that should be coming automatically out of when you're being discipled. That should be something that's a result of being discipled, means you want to go and disciple others and share your faith. And so we were trying to figure out what is a good way to be able to combine these two, and all of a sudden that note came to my head. Hey, you know, I wrote this note down about bless. Have you heard of it? And he's heard of it. And so we said, why don't we get the book and look through it, see what we think? And it just blew us away, and we're like, this is it. This is what we need to do.
Yeah, I had heard of it too from some of the same context. But I just got to point this out. It sounds really neat as you guys are talking about you're overseeing discipleship and trying to help people get connected and grow deeper in Christ. You're kind of working with mobilizing a church into outreach, and you're like, these two fit together. And it's kind of like your peanut butter, your jelly, and we're going to just put you guys' efforts together.
I'm peanut butter. Right, and I'm Jif. Anyway,
I'm sweet.
Oh.
You're smooth?
Sweet.
Oh, I thought
I'm smooth.
Okay, all right.
Might be crunchy.
Time to move on here.
Bunny trail.
Why does this mindset, which we're going to define what BLESS is here in a minute, it's an acronym, we'll get to that, but why does this particular mindset resonate with you guys, of the idea of God's people being a blessing to those around us?
Well, I mean, specifically with BLESS, what hit me with it when I, especially when I looked into the book, it's just such an attainable concept. I've heard plenty of different things put out there on how to share your faith. And some of them can get so complex and so overwhelming and make you feel very discouraged. And this was so easy, so attainable. Anybody can do it. It's easy to remember. And you can work it into every day of your life. And that was something that got me so excited.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, and it wasn't just about trying to build some kind of head knowledge. We don't need more. I mean, we always need to grow in our knowledge. But this was a very practical way of actually living out our life on mission in a way that loves our neighbor and blesses others to the point that we build relationship that holds the weight of the gospel. So we can actually have that opportunity and even the right and privilege to be able to share that. And this carries that out. And it also is not just something like for a one-shot deal. This is something we can actually implement into our lives that we can carry out on a regular basis, and it can be just a way of life, a culture shift.
Yeah, so we intend this to be something that embeds culture, all right? So if it's going to work, we all got to jump in. We all got to be part of this. We all have to have, sorry, my microphone's kind of glitching here. We got to have ways that we're all talking about this and we remember this. Real quick, you used a phrase on mission. Why do you guys use this phrase? And I'm setting you up because I use it too.
Yes.
But like, why did you use it just now?
We do it with a purpose. We wanted to have common language throughout our church that really exuded what our heart is for reaching out in our community and not being a church. It's just about being in these four walls, but really being able to send all of you to be on mission in your neighborhoods, right where you're living, in your jobs that you're going to every day. That it's not, doesn't have to be a church outreach event that you're going and reaching out, but that you're just going to work every day and that's your mission field.
Yeah,
we're all ministers. So.
That's a much better scriptural understanding of the mission than the church sets up an event and we invite people to it. That's a legitimate part of it, but it's something that's 24/7 embedded into your life, the rhythms you're already living.
Yeah, even the events, like the Fisherman's Banquet we just did. I mean, it wasn't just an event. It was an opportunity for people who are already on mission to have a place to bring their people that they're on mission with,
and
bring them out to, and that's a cool way of looking at events. It's not just a program we put on, but it's actually an opportunity for you to bring people where that you're already on mission with out to.
Yeah, and we have that with our Vacation Bible School. We have that with so many events we do as a church, the Sportsman's Banquet. Okay, let's get into the brass tacks of this. What does BLESS mean? They're kind of waiting with bated breath. It's an acronym.
So now that I said that it's easy to remember, let me go ahead and make sure I remember. So the B stands for begin with prayer. And so beginning this process, as you identify somebody that you want to be a blessing to, you begin with praying for them. Then listen with care. The L stands for listen with care. Getting together, listening to their story, not jumping in with some script. Getting to know them, eat together. You're inviting them in and being hospitable and showing them that this is not, that you're not, it's not a bait and switch thing. You actually want to get to know them and be in relationship. Serve in love, getting a chance to look for opportunities to serve them. And not only to serve them, but to invite them to serve alongside you, somebody else. That's a really great thing to do together. And then finally, share the story. Getting to be able to have an opportunity to share what God has done in your life and your testimony, and then share the gospel message creatively with them, and pray that that touches their heart and makes them want to invite Jesus into their lives. But you're not doing it that if they don't do that, it's a bait and switch, I'm gone. Right? Well, this shouldn't be something we do. This is who we are because we were blessed to be a blessing as children of God. So.
Yeah, good. And it's something we can do every day. And it's not something we have to wait for some, you know, you got to go through a book before you can do this stuff. This is stuff we just, as James said, we do. Dwayne, how you've already been kind of having a chance to practice these very things, and God's timing has been so good to have you into this before we do this study. Tell us a story.
Yeah, so I have deer neighbors. I mean, they actually are the four-legged kind, you know, as a deer pant. That's the kind of neighbors I have. I live out in the middle of nowhere. But I actually have one next-door neighbor, house next door to our house. And I was thinking about this blessed process. We've been hearing about it. We were praying through that. And God gave me a new neighbor. So people moved into the house beside us. Gunner and Leah and Sabrina and Nick moved in next door. And I was thinking about this blessed practice, so I actually started praying for them. Those four names come up in my prayer list a lot. And I'm thinking, well, what else can I do? So now I get to meet them. So what I just start asking them questions, finding out where they're from, finding out their background, finding out what they do, just getting to hear their story. What brought them from Colorado to central Pennsylvania? Things like that. Just got to getting to know them. We haven't had the chance to eat together, but let me tell you about another thing. They were unloading some stuff, and Gunner comes over to me, and he's talking. He says he wanted to borrow some tools. We did that. And then he said, hey, Dwayne, can you help me unload an 800-pound safe? And I said, no. No, that's not what I said. I said, sure. I don't know how we're going to do that, but sure, let's figure that out. So it was in his moving truck, and we helped him get that off. And it was pretty interesting the way it worked, but we did get it off and into his garage. And then we just sat on the back of the moving truck and just talked. Got to know a little bit more about him. He says, you know what, Dwayne? He says, the house I just bought here has a swimming pool, and I've never had a swimming pool. Can you tell me how to actually function with a swimming pool? So we went out back, and we're checking out his things. I'm showing him how to do it. And he said, you know what? My birthday's coming up. I'm getting a new grill for my birthday. When we do that, I want to have you over so we can have dinner together, so get a chance to eat together.
So you get to eat over there.
Yeah.
I see how you did that. It's you.
It's all
it counts,
strategy.
Though.
We all bow. We all bow.
A couple days later, maybe a week or so later, Gunner's over at my place, and he's borrowing some things again and asking if he can use some things over my place. And I'm like, sure. We got talking, and he's like, and somehow in our conversation, he actually gave me some baseball tickets to hand out to somebody. He said, can you use these baseball tickets? Somebody gave them to us, can't use them. I'm like, no, I can't use them. But I think I can find somebody at church that can. He said, church? What church do you go to? I said, well, actually go to Emmanuel Church. If you just go out our road and turn left, you drive right by it. He said, you know, I was saved when I was 15, but I have had nothing. I've done nothing with God ever since. He said, we don't do religion in our house. That's where the conversation stopped. I still pray for Gunner. I still listen to him every chance we get. Someday we're going to eat together. I'm going to guarantee that. Love serving him together, and then we're going to have an opportunity to share that story some more. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's amazing how God opens those kinds of things for us, and it's natural in the relationships of life that we do these. And I love that you can do one of these things every day. Amen. If the very least that you do is pray, that's an amazing thing. But you can do all these different steps somewhere along the way every day. Of your life.
Actually, I want to encourage you guys, while the slide's up, I don't know if it's going to change at all, take your phone out and take a picture of it. That way you have these now. You don't have to wait to get the book or wait till later. Take a picture of it now so you have it on your phone and you can remember these things as you're challenging yourself further.
Okay, we need to wrap this part up. We're going to be doing small groups this fall. We want to have a whole bunch of groups. What does this look like? How do people sign up?
Yeah, so there's an insert in your bulletin that lists all the different groups that are meeting. This is a 6 to 9 week series, depending on how the group is setting their opportunity up. This goes from youth to college. We have a special group for college, for young adults, for Spanish speaking, and for just all of our adults. We are trying to get as many people to get into a group. You're not committing to a long-term group. You're only committing to a short-term opportunity. Find the one that works for you, the night of the week that works best, geography-wise it works best, whatever it is. Look at this. Opportunities to sign up. You can go over to the ministry fair, and there's a booth there for small groups, and there's a place you can sign up there. You can pull out your phone and do your sign up on your Church Center app. Everybody should be on Church Center app. And get on that. You can go to our website. That'll take you to the same place to be able to sign up there. You can pick the group you want to be part of and sign up for it that way. We have opportunities. I believe we could have at least 175 people go through this fall yet, and that's just exciting to me that we could actually have that many people.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you both so much. At this point, we're going to dismiss anyone who's part of the ministry fair. If you're working a booth, you guys get out first so you can beat the crowd and get over there. Let me just tell you, church is not done. Our church service is not done. We're including the ministry fair as part of our morning worship service. We are blessed to be a blessing. Don't be scum. Don't let God's blessing just flow into your life, but not flow out of your life to the people around you. A couple of practical notes. There are booths of all kinds. Make your way all around the fellowship hall. There's amazing food. So much good food, you may not even have to buy lunch later on. It's pretty awesome, and the spread looks so good. If you have kids that are in the kids' ministry right now, you do not have to pick them up until noon. You have 20 minutes. If they're young ones, you can do this next 20 minutes without the young ones. The older ones, 5 through 5th grade, they're actually going to bring them up to you. It's not what we normally do, but because they're more mobile, the teachers are going to bring those kids up at noon. So don't disappear without your kids. Make sure you track them down. You have them with you by the end of this time. But we want to go ahead now and close up here and then head across to the fellowship hall. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word that so clearly, so powerfully shows us how much you love us, how much you've done for us, how you have poured into us as your people that we don't deserve. And we could say thank you for a thousand things. We could hold a prayer meeting right here and we could just say thank you for this and thank you for this, and we could all have dozens and dozens of things to say that we're thankful for. Lord, you pour into us all the time. Lord, we're asking that as we step into a new year of ministry, a new school year, continuing on in our workplaces and wherever it may be, will you make us a blessing to others? Lord, each person in this room, will you help them by your Holy Spirit to be a blessing to people in their lives? If it's a student in school, if it's someone at work, if it's someone in a neighborhood or a new neighbor that moves in or whatever it may look like, Lord, make us a blessing to others. Even if it's someone this morning that we're going to bump into, make us a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed across the hall. Please don't go home. This is a time to connect. Thank you for being here today. We'll see you tonight at 6:00.